Hello, everyone. I am at a hotel. So if you're wondering why things look a little different, it is because we are getting ready for, let me move this around just a little bit. And you can tell that I have much better lighting at my house. Better lighting, I have better all the things. We are going to do coaching today. I am at the Marriott where we will be doing the self-love virtual weekend. Sorry, my laptop's got messages popping up. And it's going to be great. We are so excited. So I'm excited to be here. I'm already working with Kathy on some stuff. We are doing a little bit of getting ready for everyone. So if you come in, please say hello. And if you want to get coached, you just need to raise your hand. And the first person is Hospice Volunteers of Hancock. What a professional name. Hang on. There it goes. There's Kathy making a guest appearance. So don't forget, guys, if you want to get coached, that you raise your hand. We're going to be coaching today on module 2 of No BS, which is all the thought work stuff.
Hi, Corinne.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing good.
I was like, I'm going to raise my hand right away so I make sure I get coached.
There you go.
So good to see you. You look great today.
Thank you. I cut my hair off.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah, I've been wondering if anybody was going to notice that half my hair is gone. But yeah, I got tired of it, like getting in my eye. So I was just All right, what are we coaching on?
Well, I've been doing a lot of thought work and journaling, and I was going back and listening to module 2 and hearing the new things you're saying and how you're saying them. And I've been thinking a lot about the whole thought laddering idea, and I've been through a lot of extreme changes in the last 2 years. I've been through a divorce. The career that I thought was going to be my lifelong career came to an end. And so I am, this program has really been helping me in terms of learning how to think about things differently and getting more positive. And you know, you talk a lot about the future self. And when I do that in terms of weight loss and health and what I want my body to be like, that's easy. But I am trying to figure out how to think about my future and what I want for my future and how to set goals for my future. And I just feel completely lost because everything I thought was going to be my life has changed. Okay. And so I'm trying to figure out, like, usually with thought laddering, you have like an end in mind and then you ladder your thoughts to get there. And I don't know what end I want. And I don't know what, I just don't know what I want.
What if you don't need to know that? What would you be thinking? If you didn't need to know what you ultimately wanted right now, what would you be thinking?
Well, good question. I've been, you know, sometimes I think, well, I'll just keep figuring it out as I go. Okay. But I am, so I just turned 53, mm-hmm. and 15 years from now is when I'm eligible for my Social Security. And that kind of really hit me when I had that birthday. I was like, okay, I've got 15 years, which seems suddenly very short. And so I have this feeling like I've got to set some goals and know where I want to get. I have a lot of financial insecurity. And so it, when you say like, what if you don't have to know, that just feels scary.
Well, and I think that's why you're not, I think that's what's blocking you from being able to even identify it. Because if not meeting, because here's the thing, your brain already knows that you never knew anyway. Your brain's like, oh, I thought this was going to happen. It didn't. So why would picking something else be any more certain?
Well, that's a good point.
this is the thing. This is like the reality when it comes to life. And I think we all kind of got the wake up call with Corona. Like, let's say we all went to our past selves a year ago and said, oh my gosh, you'll never guess in 2020. Like, we all wear masks now. We can't stand but 6 feet away. You can't go to a restaurant. Kids are not in school. Like, if you had to describe 2020, to 2019 people, they'd be like, what did y'all all do? Snort cocaine all year? Like, it'd just be fantabulous, right? So it's this idea now of building a relationship with uncertainty, I think is where you need to be. Not necessarily in order to feel better about my life and my future, I need a goal. It's like, no, in order to feel better about your life and your future, you need a relationship with your future first. Like, I will figure it out. I handle things. I'm, you know, open to what's going to come. Like, I'll try things on. Like, whatever that is, it's like the fear goes away when you build a relationship with yourself of like, I will be okay in the not knowing. I know I can take steps forward. I know that I can do these things, and I don't necessarily need to know where it's going to lead. Not right now. So it's also deciding, like, for you, what are the immediate things that you can be doing? If you release the need for knowing how it's all going to work out, and you're just like, all right, I could still take action with uncertainty. And these are the things that I would be doing if I wasn't needing to feel certain.
Yeah, I really like that idea of building a relationship with uncertainty. That's a really good way to put it.
Most of us, we don't think too much. I don't teach this very often, but you know how, like, in the think, feel, do cycle, there's like these things outside of us, and it's usually like people's opinions, or, you know, I lost my job. Like, it's things that are outside of us. The other things that are outside of us sometimes are concepts. Like, uncertainty is not exactly a fact, and yet it is. And so it's one of those, and it's for, like, I like to play with this also for people who have depression or anxiety. Sometimes we move those feelings and stuff. We put them on the outside and we decide, all right, how does my brain want to have a relationship with this? Because sometimes the thinking around anxiety, the thinking around uncertainty, the thinking around depression is what is the immediate hose. That's what's feeling so awful right now. When you remove that, then you're just left with handling those things. And it takes the temperature down.
That's really helpful. And I do struggle with anxiety and depression and a lot of fear. And it's been very easy to be all hopeless, and, you know, like, I keep trying for jobs and I don't get them, and it's easy to be like, you know, beating myself up and telling myself I'm never going to get where I want to go. But this has been real, like, doing all of this work has been really helpful for me in feeling less despondent and scared. And, so thank you. Thank you so much.
I want to just tell you too, I want you to consider this, that the no's and the rejections, when you say that that scares me, that makes me despondent, that is what's really happening in all of those no's and rejections, is it is exposing the relationship you have with you internally.
Yeah.
It's not that's causing you problems. You don't need a job, because what happens is if you end up getting a job before you decide that every single time you're rejected, it's like, I still love me, I'm still worthy, I still have skills, I'm just going to keep going. Like, if you build the resilience, you build the relationship with you all the way, then when you get the job, you go in ready for it. If you happen to get a job before all that, you're going to go in worrying when the shoe's going to drop. Are they just going to let me go? How long is this going to last? Like, you will bring with you your mindset everywhere you go. So just use this as like, use it as an opportunity to build a relationship with yourself, but that also gives you relief from your judgment. You will start feeling better in that arena. It doesn't mean that you can't be disappointed. If I don't get a job, I'm going to feel disappointed because I wanted it. I'm going to feel disappointed because, oh, I thought I was getting it. But I'm never going to be disappointed because something's wrong with me. That's going to be the difference. So it's like, I can experience letdown and I can experience disappointment without having to experience self-loathing. And that's where you can do some real serious personal growth right there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really helpful.
So what do? We have all these people here. Maybe somebody needs you. I've got talents in this arena. Anybody hiring?
Well, right now I'm doing grief support for a hospital program. And I got to that as I have been I'm a clergy person. I've been working in the church for the past 13 years, and I had a very bad breakup with my last parish. Okay. And I wasn't ready to go back into church work, and I don't know if I ever will. But because that's my resume, people kind of pigeonhole me, and I have to work really hard to get them to see me differently. And I really love working with grieving people. I do a lot of one-on-one work with them, and then I also train volunteers to lead support groups. And I love all of that, but I don't get any healthcare benefits, and I don't make enough money to cover my expenses. So I'm trying to figure out how I take what I can do. You know, I don't have licensure as a counselor or anything like that.
But there's things you can do for sure, especially in grieving. And right now, man, God,
yeah,
there's so many people grieving and stuff. Like, right. There's a lot of big gigs out there. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
What is your name? All I saw was hospice.
It is. Yeah, I just changed my name, but you probably can't see it. It's Jane.
Okay. Well, it's nice to meet you, Jane.
Nice to meet you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye. Oh, wait, that's me. Hang on. I got to start my video. I don't know how to take you down. It's not letting me. I'll let you do it. My Zoom is acting like a goober. I think you'll have to.
I don't know how to do it. How do I get myself
out? Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. It should have. Let me try it this way. Here it goes. Okay. There, I got it. It wasn't giving me the option. I don't know why. Let me see. All right. I don't know why I ever take my glasses off, y'all. I'm so ridiculous. Tamara?
Hi.
Hello.
Let me turn my video on.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
It's nice to meet you. This is very surreal. I just had a free time during work today, and I decided to jump on because I felt like I could use, and then I just raised my hand. Anyway.
You won the coaching lottery.
So I have like two things, and I think they're connected, but my brain's not like connecting them. One is working on the feeling. And there's a feeling I'm struggling with, and I'm not trying to journal about it, which is like shame, embarrassment around realizing how much I'd been overeating since I just joined. And I've been really good at waiting till I'm hungry. And I've been working on waiting till I'm satisfied, but realizing how little I need to eat and feeling really like not good. Like, no wonder you're here. No wonder you have 50 pounds to lose. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And then,
so why don't you just shut that little voice down? Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is that voice useful?
No.
And so this is what I always tell people. When we identify a line of thinking that's just not useful, like we don't have to dig in. We don't have to be like, oh, I'm going to need new thoughts and I need to figure out where this came from. Like, I think sometimes, like, this is what my mentor calls an indulgent emotion. Like, it's indulging and feeling shame. And it's indulging. Mm-hmm. Indulging is where it's like, oh my gosh, I realize I'm thinking things that make me feel bad. Oh my God, like, that's terrible. And it's like, if you already know that it's not useful, then what we do is like, oh, not needed. I'm learning to not need to feel shame. I'm learning how to turn this voice off. I'm learning how to allow this voice to be here without like getting caught up in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next phase. It's, you know, and this is very common. I'm sorry, what was your name?
Tamara.
I've got you on the screen where it never shows the name. It drives me crazy when I do that. This is where a lot of people get hosed because I like to describe it this way. The version of you, there's your habit brain in your head, which we learned in module 2.
Mm-hmm.
The habit brain is like the younger version of you. So one of the things we're doing at the self-love camp this weekend is all the girls are bringing a photo of themselves in their youth. So like, think of a time when you were just a kid and you were trying to do your best, but you were getting in trouble, or people yelled at you, or people made fun of you, and all this other stuff. That version of you is usually scared and doesn't know what to do next and is searching outside of her to figure out things. She's just a little shit show, right? Then there's the adult you that comes in. And that's your reasoning brain, and that's your front part of your brain, your conscious brain. Your reasoning brain is there to take care of the habit brain. So when the habit brain says, oh my God, no wonder you're so overweight. Oh my God, if you've been eating like this forever, blah, blah, blah. Like, when that little girl is judging herself, she needs you to come in and say, it's okay. We're learning new things. I got you. I know that this is the best you can do right now, is think these things, because I haven't been here. I'm here now with new knowledge. That is what I want all of you guys to start doing, because in this part of our work, when we start module two, there is, like, that voice has always been there. We just didn't know it. We haven't been listening. And it's been in there causing us to overeat. It's been in there running the show. It's like, she's probably not been saying, like, no wonder you're overeat if you've been overeating. She's been just like, fuck it, you'll never lose weight. You might as well eat. Like, her voice is just morphing a little bit. And okay. So I don't want you coming in, though, with being angry at it. Like, you need to be, like, it's just like walking into this scared little girl and then saying, like, you need to shut up. You need to change your attitude. You need to go to your room. You need to get here. Like, that's what we normally do. Mm-hmm. And that part of the conversation is what usually gets people to turn off thought work.
Yeah, that's true. And I think I kind of just realized how it connected to the other thing, which is that I've been feeling a lot of, and I did a whole like feeling a feeling worksheet about it this morning. Annoyed was the emotion about work, and amazing how like doing that really works. But I realized, I think I'm also just annoyed with myself. And so I'm then annoyed, but it's not about anyone else. It's really, I'm annoyed about myself. And so maybe I need to think, I don't know if I should think about why I'm annoyed with myself, or should I just try to tell myself anew?
No, I would for sure ask yourself, so why am I so annoyed? What am I telling myself that annoys me? Because that will show you the thoughts that you're having that are under the surface that are leading you. Like, it'll say like, okay, if I'm annoyed, like if I'm annoyed at myself, it's because I'm telling myself something about what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And if I don't want to be annoyed, I need to understand, how am I making sense of this situation? Because the way that I'm interpreting it, the story that I'm telling myself, is what's actually annoying here. Now, yeah. If I actually want to be annoyed, like if I look at my thoughts and I'm like, hell yeah, that's for sure, that's where we're at. That's when we just feel the feeling and we're just like, yeah, like right now, not ready to move off of it. I totally agree with myself. This shouldn't, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. But I'm not eating over it, because now I know why I'm annoyed. I know that my action now becomes choosing annoyance and feeling annoyed, versus what we normally do is we start to feel annoyed. We get really uncomfortable. We want that to stop. And so we suddenly are like eating.
Yeah.
That's the important part of understanding why. And then sometimes what you do is you'll look and you'll notice, like, oh my God, I am really making a mountain out of a molehill. Like, in a week, am I even going to give a shit? If I'm not going to give a shit, like, I do that a lot when I'm annoyed, frustrated, upset, or whatever. I always allow myself to be there. And then I ask myself, am I going to give a shit in a week? If not, let's figure out how to not give a shit right now. Or at least, let's not give this degree of shit. Like, let's just be a little annoyed versus like, it's the end of the world, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's really helpful. I'm definitely, I was taking notes, which is why I kept looking away.
No, you're fine. I get it. No, I know you guys aren't just like, oh, I'm over texting while you're talking.
I'm definitely, I think that I need to figure out what, because that's something I also realized I think Kathy talks about, like, it's easier for her to figure out a feeling. And I think for me too, and how to figure out what that thought that's causing the feeling. And it's really difficult for me. Yeah. So I can identify these, but I have a feeling it's the same. There's a belief there about, like, me that I need to kind of, like, identify and work on.
Can you say that one more time? My internet cut out.
I think there's some belief about me that I need to identify and work on. Mm-hmm. I'm new, but I've heard some of the old stuff about, like, the thought babies. And I think, I forget what it's called, the main thing is called. But
Old shitty.
Yeah. I think there must be.
We have such, you know, like that. Such sophisticated names for things around here.
No, I love it. So I think I need to figure, I think that some of these emotions are tied probably to thought babies, and I need to figure out what the bigger old shitty that's making me feel, like, ashamed and annoyed and embarrassed is.
It will for sure. Like, a lot of times what you can do is when you, like, I'm like, if you say, like, I'm so dumb, or I'm so this, you can ask yourself, like, if you collect some thought babies, you can just ask yourself, like, okay, here's a collection of the thoughts I have about me. Like, you can just, like, just write about, like, why do I think this way? Like, what is it that I believe? Like, and just doing some writing along that, like, what do I really believe about me? You'll stumble upon it. Like, you'll just start writing. And, like, my biggest old shitty thought that I still grapple with a lot of times is, I'm just, like, I'm screwing things up. Like, I have this, like, not good enough, like, inner person that always thinks she's, like, not ever going to be good enough. And so, like, for me, the thought baby is, I'm screwing this up. I'm never going to, like, this shouldn't be happening and blah, blah, blah. And when I look at it underneath, like, why would I think those things? Because, like, at the end of the day, I just feel like I'm not good enough. I'm never going to be able to do the things I want to do. And it's very, victim-y when we go there. But I've gotten good over time of, like, really, like, in certain areas now, I never struggle with not feeling good enough. But given some certain circumstances and certain things happen, like, that old stuff gets triggered and it comes back real quick. And I just want to tell all of you, that's okay. Like, whatever your core beliefs about you are, you'll be able to work on them and you'll be able to get so much traction in your life and stuff. But every now and then, things are going to happen, just like everything always happens in the world. Negative things will happen, and a lot of times it will just tap on those old beliefs, but you just get better at knowing when you're going to them.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, well, good luck with annoyance.
Thank you so much.
All righty, bye-bye. Yeah, somebody said, is like, well, y'all are talking about Noom right now. Y'all, let me just say, I think the Noom sucks. Not because I've ever done it, but and because I'm trying to tout my own stuff. But several of you have tried it before, and their coaching is not like our coaching. So, you know, if you want to go try it, it's fine with me. But it's like, this is what I call real coaching. Like, you're actually getting, you're not just getting, this is what I notice with a lot of the big programs that do coaching. They have people, like, it would be like me hiring 30 people to come on here and read. And it's like, well, here's a question. And here's the next question. Here's the next question. To them, that's what coaching is. It's just, let me give you this routine set of shit. And I don't even know if they even do all that. I don't know enough about the program, but yeah, Noom sucks. It has automated responses. This is module 2 coaching for everybody who's here. Well, there's a lot of people who are not loving the Noom. I didn't mean to get everybody stirred up. Jerry? Oh my gosh, Jerry Harrison. Okay, you don't spell your name like my granny, but my grandmother's name was Jerry Harrison. I don't know if you know this, but she's like, Jerry Harrison was the granny that I'm always talking about who I get all my sass. I get my foul ass mouth from her. My love affair of 5-inch heels and big boobs, all thing from my grandmother. And She drove a sports car with, like, back in the day when T-tops were a big thing, but she drove a red Camaro until she was damn near 70, and her knees were so bad she couldn't get in and out. She had to switch cars. So that was my grandmother. I know that's shocking to know that that was my grandmother, but anyway, it's just a delight to talk to another Jerry Harrison today. All right, tell me what we're coaching on.
Well, it's, you know, there was another one out there, so.
I tell you what, they're one of a kind.
I get told that quite often. So here's the problem that I'm dealing with. And I know I just have to figure out how to stop telling myself this, as you just told Tamara in the last conversation. I have been very diligently working on losing weight for about 6 years. Okay. And have lost 90 pounds. So I've lost some weight and have some more to go. But I've been kind of stuck on this plateau for about 6 months now.
Okay.
And no matter what I do, it's not. And I'm giving up. And I started your program in an attempt to not give up. And I can't get that thought out of me.
What is the thought that is I'm giving up?
I feel like it's never going to happen, that I can't get the last of it gone.
How much more do you want to lose?
So that I have some health issues. They're looking for me to lose another 50 pounds.
Okay. So we just have 50 pounds to lose. Do you ever say it like that? Do you ever talk about the relationship with...
It's still 50 pounds. It's still, yeah. It just seems impossible at this point.
Okay. So there's a couple of things. The first thing is it's not going to ever feel possible if you only talk about it one way. Now, when I say this, I want you to think about this for a second. There's going to be the version of you right now who is all in on this is not happening. And I don't care what you tell me, Jerry. It's never going to happen. There's that version of you. That little girl is in there. The reason why she doesn't want to believe. Did you hear my talk about the little girl in your head? Mm-hmm. Okay. The little girl in your head, the reason why she keeps telling you that is because she knows that trying is painful. She would rather you sit and be very confused and feel like it's not going to happen, even though it feels like shit right now and you're crying over it. That's way easier than doing whatever you need to do to believe in it. Probably not believing in it is more comfortable than believing in it, where it's scary because you're not doing that at all. Tell me why every day you're not just telling yourself at least 1,000 times, it's just 50 pounds. Someone who's lost 90 can do it. I'm going to do it no matter what. Even when my brain thinks we're not doing it, it just happens to be wrong.
I guess it's because of the time that I have been trying, this last 6 months where I've been trying and doing and all the adjustments and changes, and yet the scale goes up and down that same 3 to 5 pounds.
But are you trying from the version of you who believes it won't happen? Or are you trying from the version of you who's going to talk every single day like it's going to happen?
I guess from the version that I don't think it's ever going to happen, which is the way I lost the first 90 too, because I thought it was never going to happen either. So
when you start, like the entire time you were losing 90 pounds, you never had a positive thought about it.
Very, very rarely.
Tell me what you did think about then on the way down.
My whole thing has been, I need to get to this place to get to there.
So you were believing.
I
very different than the conversation you're having now. But you were talking about the 90 of, I need to get here to get there. Now you're talking.
No,
about-
I need to. So it was more long term. I need to. My whole purpose for the weight loss was because I have health issues and I need to get those health issues resolved to be able to continue to work. My life is all about my work. Like you, I'm extremely passionate about it. So
that's fine. But I want you to see the difference between the way that you talked about those 90 and how you're talking about the 50. You've shifted your thought line.
Okay.
When I asked you, what did you think about with the 90? You said, I need to get here to get there. When I talk about the 50,
cutting out.
Tell me, oh, so when we talked about like the 90 pounds, you said, well, my thought was, I need to get here to get there. That doesn't mean that you had some self-loathing that was going on. Like, I'm sure all that was happening or you wouldn't be stuck here. You've just now lost enough weight to where the self-loathing is the louder voice. But the loud voice of the first 90 was very determined. It overrode self-loathing. It was the most important voice in the room. It's like, I get it that we don't like ourselves or whatever is happening. All of our fear, all of those thoughts, like, I get it, but we got to get here to get there. Like, that was the driving force. Now, the 50 is, when you think about it, it's like, I'm doing all the things. I just don't think it's ever going to happen. I'm never going to get there. I'm going to lose everything. My work means a lot to me. That's the conversation now. We've took the foot off the gas of a determined thought. And we've allowed probably the voice of doubt and insecurity that was always there. Now it has space to breathe. It's not as an emergency. This is what happens a lot of times when people are losing weight from that emergency syndrome, which I think that's kind of what I'm hearing from you. Is like when you first started, it was like, it was health. I'm going to lose my job, like everything that I love.
I'm still in that emergency phase though, because
it's not as bad.
Yeah.
When you're, what is 9 plus 5?
14.
All right.
I'm a numbers person, so I'll tell you numbers.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm going to need an assist here. At 140 pounds, it was a tornado siren. At the last 50, it's like it's a police siren off in the distance. The intensity of it has dropped. Otherwise, do you know how I know you would still be losing weight? If it was still a tornado siren, you would still be losing the weight.
I feel like it's still a tornado siren in my head, though.
But I don't think it's I don't think that is what's causing it. I think the tornado siren now is that it's not going to happen. The tornado siren originally was, I've got to do this to get here. This has to happen. That's kind of where I was when I first started losing weight. I felt like my child's life was in danger if I didn't get my shit together. I was in postpartum. I felt like I was going to kill myself again if I didn't get my shit together. I had like all these things. That was a tornado siren. What ends up happening after a while is, I think now what feels like a tornado siren is your self-loathing over not getting there. It's drowning out the determination. So let's just talk about this for a second. Number one, what is it going to take for you? Like, as bad as it feels to think that, like, how many times a day do you think you're going to need to think something different to counterbalance right now?
Like 1,000 times a day?
At least. That voice is not going to go away. Ever. The voice of not believing in you and doubting you and stuff, you know, short of having half your brain removed, it's not going away. That's just the habit brain's job. The habit brain's job is always to figure out how to be scared of something. It's always on the prowl for what's not going to happen, for what's dangerous. Expecting it to go away in order to believe in yourself is what slows us down the most. You'll have to have two sides of the conversation every single day. Because it is important. You'll have to remind yourself, I've got to get there. And this voice is coming along for the ride. So tell me why in the last 6 months, outside of the thought work, if you had to identify an action that's keeping you from losing the weight that you want to lose, what would it be?
I suffer from PTSD and definitely go to the emotional eating when that stuff gets bad. And so I can eat well. I can eat very good for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days. Mm-hmm. And then I get like this or worse. Mm-hmm. And I go to the sugar and I'll eat a pound bag of M&Ms at night.
Do you have plans for days when everything's going to feel overwhelming and hard? What's your plan on those days?
I have a whole coping list of things to do that are outside of eating. And
what is your food plan for those days? Because here's what I know. If you're still going towards the eating, I want you to keep your coping stuff for sure. That's very helpful for traumatic stuff. But you also need to have, like, not a strict food plan, but you need to have, like, how do I care for myself when I want to eat? What is that plan? And I don't want it to be distracting from the emotions.
I've tried a multitude of things. You know, I tried the, yes, you can have that, but do it more in a limiting factor. Just keeping track. I've gone to the extremes, and I go in both extremes. I will not eat for 4 days because I don't want to put anything in my mouth because I'm afraid I can't stop. So, it usually just gets to the point of the only way to solve it is to just eat whatever I want to eat. And I know in the end that just makes me feel worse.
Well, it does, but I also want you to, like, do you have compassion for the version of you that eats because of this, or do you just want her to go away?
I just want her to go away.
I think that's part of the problem, because if you just view the version of you who's eating as bad or wrong, rather than that's just the version of me that is figuring out how to have, like, emotional flexibility, how to deal with these things. It's that pulling apart all the ways that you're, like, what I just call, like, feeling bad on top of feeling bad. It's like you already have the PTSD stuff, which is enough. But then we kind of dogpile on top. It's like, not only do I have this, but now I'm, like, judging myself on how I eat. And now, like, I'm doing all these things. And it's like, until you release that layer of stress, it's really hard to figure out how to truly care for yourself. It's like trying to figure out, how am I going to care for myself from hate? You know, it's like it doesn't work. It feels like it should. Like, it definitely makes sense in our brain. It's like, I don't like these things about me. This causes me pain. Like, I can't lose my weight because I keep eating. It feels like it's necessary to judge ourselves over all of it. But the problem is it always results in feeling worse about yourself, overcorrecting by not eating for 4 days, building that tension up, and your brain is never getting any space or room to like yourself. It's never getting any space or room to understand how to feel your feelings without having to eat, restrict, put in controls. Do you see what I'm saying? Have you done work? Like, we don't need to go into your PTSD. But are you coming to camp, by the way, this weekend at all?
No, I found out about it after it was closed.
Okay. If you did want to come, we can get you in, you just can't get swag. We're out of, we officially sold out of swag. If you do, like anybody who's like still like, you just want to be in and you're fine without having swag, just email us at support. My assistant's going to kill me when I put this out there. She's worked like 70 hours in the last few days. She's going to need like a week off. You can email support at pnptribe.com, everybody. But one of the things that we're doing in there that I just want you to consider, it's, you don't have to come, I'll just try to briefly walk you through this, is we're teaching a section on post-traumatic growth. Have you heard of that concept?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you done that work?
Somewhat.
I would do more. Because if your PTSD keeps coming, it's not to get rid of PTSD. Right. Post-traumatic growth is about understanding that you're going to have it and how to move forward with it. And it sounds as if you're not moving forward at this point. It sounds as if you've just figured out some coping skills for when you can tolerate it. There's a difference between growing through it and tolerating. And for a lot of people, what happens is that you can tolerate so much, but then the way you're tolerating is by the eating. And so that's where we're seeing some manifestation of it.
And yeah, I don't disagree with that. So real short version, I work through a lot of the PTSD, done a lot of the post-traumatic work, and then developed a chronic pain condition. I'm now back in the situation of I can't dissociate or disconnect the old pain from childhood trauma with the pain of today. And yes, so that has put me back in a lot of that. How do I tolerate flashbacks? How do I tolerate this pain? How do I tolerate all of that? And,
I would suggest working on just the pain, the chronic pain, like pull it apart from childhood stuff and just say, like, I'm a big believer in everybody who has chronic pain. You need a relationship with the chronic pain. It's not going anywhere. But if your thoughts about it are in the complete deuter, then guess what? You live in the deuter.
That's
along with hurting.
Because the chronic pain can be reduced by surgery. I can't get the surgery till I get to a BMI of 25, which is, so I get in this vicious cycle of how do I lose the weight to get to there, to move back, to do.
The way that you're going to lose the weight, though, is by developing a relationship with having pain now. Like, literally having compassion when you have pain. I don't know, what do you tell yourself when your pain strikes up?
It's usually I'm just trying to distract myself from it and move on to something else. So
yeah, so like, I think what's important is that you don't have to like sit there and be like, oh my God, I'm going to experience all my pain. But there's probably something you tell yourself, like, if this wasn't happening, I could do this. Like, it's looking for the little ways that you think about your chronic pain. Like, I want you to think about how you think about it when you're not even in pain. Like, where are the painful thoughts around it? Where are the things that are like, you know, it's like, if I get this surgery, everything's going to be better. Rather than like, I don't want to be sitting around feeling emotionally, and I'm looking for the emotional shit, not the physical shit. But do you want to be on the journey to get to the surgery? Like, well, I can only feel like emotional shit until I have surgery. It's the same thing with people who lose weight. It's like, I have to hate myself, and you're going through this right now. It's like, I have to be disappointed in my pain, and I have to be in fear, and I have to be all these things to get this 50 pounds off. Like, I can't like myself until I've earned the 50. I can't practice believing in myself because I keep overeating. It's like, no, you get to keep practicing believing in yourself because that's the part that's going to be required in order to do this. Like, for you, I think it's going to come down to, when are you going to have unconditional love for all of you? The part that's in pain, the part that needs surgery, the part that's working on 50 pounds, the part that needs food sometimes, until you figure out how not to.
Certainly the self-loathing has been around for a long time, and it's a
just know this, self-loathing doesn't go away overnight. It doesn't go away with losing weight. Here's how I know. Let me ask you this. At 140 pounds heavier, did you think you'd be this miserable at 90 pounds down?
I figured I would be this miserable until I could get the surgery. So, yes, I
did. With the bag or with yourself? Let me just really go back and think about this. When you first started, if I had walked up and you said, "Oh my God, you're going to lose 90 pounds."
I thought didn't know it was possible.
Right. Exactly. You didn't need to know it was possible then. You don't even need to know it's possible now, but you need to tell yourself that it is. You need to tell yourself, if I could be wrong 90 pounds again, 90 pounds ago, I can be wrong about the next 52. I probably can lose the next 50 by telling myself how important it is every day versus telling myself how it's not going to happen. Let the old voices come in. I just need you to befriend yourself enough to hear them and tell a new story too. We can't just tell the old story and expect, what do you think is going to happen? You lose 50 pounds and you're out of back pain. You think you're suddenly going to be just like, I'm amazing. I'm going back on that call. All my problems are gone. Shit. Like, life's perfect.
No, because I am fully aware that, I don't actually have back pain. I have nerve damage. And so it's not going away. It's the degree. I'm just looking to get the surgery for that pain level to be reduced to a point, to be honest, so I can continue working because I love what I do. And I'm terrified I'm not going to be able to work.
I will tell you, if we don't work on the relationship with you, you'll get the surgery. You'll have some pain, and then you'll sit there every day and be like, I could do so much better if I didn't have this pain.
Probably.
I would bet you $1 million how your brain thinks. If your brain is trained to find problems, and then guess what you'll do? You'll sit there and be like, well, I hope I don't gain that weight back. Because now I've lost my motivation to keep it off. We always have to be careful about what we practice thinking over and over again. And that's how I want you to start thinking about this. This is my practiced thinking. So now I just need new practice thinking. The only reason why I think the way I do today is because no one ever told me I could think different. At some point, someone hurt me in my life. At some point, people said things. At some point, my brain rationalized that this is how we believe in ourselves and this is how we think to protect ourselves. That's all that ever happened. Now, I just got to reweave a story. And it's got to get told so much so that my brain is ready to let this one go. But that takes a long time. But the nice thing is you get to enjoy the new story. Right now, you're just living in the misery of the old. Okay? All right, Jerry Harrison. Go do our name proud.
I will try. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Y'all, I'm sweating like a mother. Well, I was going to drop the F-bomb, but I'm trying to respect y'all today. Tree? pretty name, if your name's true. Logan would love that name. I think Logan would wishes I would have named him after nature. He is such a nature boy. You there, Tree? There you are. Let's get your sound going. I can't hear you. Did you turn your, did you tell, I think you don't have your sound enabled on in the Zoom settings. While you're figuring out, let me ask a question. Somebody said disrespect us. Dropping the F-bombs. So at night, I typically have some sort of dessert. I feel like it's a bad habit, but I tell myself it's to prevent a binge because I look forward to it. I can't get on because I'm working. Thank you. All right. So Zoe, one of the things that I would stop telling yourself is it doesn't prevent, in eating something sweet is not preventing a binge. A thought is, the thought you're having is, I'm eating something sweet, so I won't binge. That's what prevents a binge. It's not the actual eating of the sweet. So it's really important that you connect that you're having a thought, not it's the actual eating that's doing it. So when you make that connection that you're actually just making a decision, because there's plenty of people out there who eat something sweet and still binge. It's a trigger for a lot of people. So making the connection that that's all that's happening, you can start planning. You can start planning not to have dessert a few nights a week and just say, deciding not to binge tonight because I'm practicing not having sweets and using my mind. That could be like a mindset. I don't hear you, honey. I'm not sure what's going on. I can't hear you at all. I'm going to call on someone else and I'll try to get you before I get off, but go into your Zoom settings and see if you can enable your thing. Okay. Let's see. Susan Mitchell? It's a bunch of y'all on today. So crazy. Hey, Susan, I hear you.
Okay, that's a start.
Can you your video's see coming. There it is.
Oh, and I have this god-awful background on me.
That's okay. What are we coaching on?
Well, I received your feelings worksheet yesterday, just like everybody else. And I think the biggest thing that I keep having a problem with in the evening time, I seem to do good all day long. I've lost 25 pounds. I've got about 10 more to go till I'll be at my maintenance. And I just go home and I sabotage myself. I just sit there and I will inhale whatever I see.
Sabotaging. How do you know you're not just deciding to eat because you're not feeling your feelings?
Well, that's another problem. I am almost 9 years rather sober, so I really know very well on how to not sit with one's feelings. Because God forbid you want to feel your own feelings.
Yeah, but you probably know how to, like, I just want you to think about this. How helpful is it to sit around and think about how well-versed you are at not feeling your feelings? You think that's a helpful thought?
Well, it isn't, but then when I do sit and feel with my feelings, it's more along the lines of, I'm not worth it.
Yeah, so the problem isn't that you can't feel your feelings. The problem is you're not using that, like, oh, I keep thinking I'm not worth it. I should probably go to work on that.
But how do you work on, that's my biggest thing, is how do I get my head wrapped around the thought that I am worth it?
You tell yourself reasons why you are. How often are you doing that? You're supposed to be doing it every damn day in your planner.
Well...
Like, there's a start, everyone. Use your planner. I'm letting me throw y'all a bone.
Yeah, I can sit there and go, oh, I like my hair today. My skin looks great, you know.
But that's but listen, at night, are you telling yourself what you, like, are you recapping your night and saying, you know what? Here's the things I did right today. Here are the things that I like about me today. Like, I know my brain every single night is going to go home and be exhausted and act like it's the end of the world and that I'm a piece of shit and all this other junk because it's used to that. Let's get used to a different conversation.
And I really do try to do that a lot just because of I am always so exhausted. I have Hashimoto's and I've been trying to get the medicine correct and all that. So I have put my finger on, I am more of a grab asser when I'm tired. I know I do that and I.
But you're not doing that because.
Do have husband's thin and of course like.
Look.
The grab asser. Well, I make him sweet.
Like husbands being thin and food in the house and all this other stuff. Y'all can't afford to sit there and think that that makes my cross thornier and heavier. That's exactly what we're doing. It's like, well, we all got a cross to bear, but mine's thornier and a little bit heavier than the rest of you because my husband's thin and I got Hashimoto's and I got, how does that feel? Heavy?
Shitty.
Yeah. So why, like, this is where we get into what I call indulging in our story. It's like, if we know it's a shitty story, then we need to start talking about our life in a way that's not shitty. Like, what if you just said, I have a husband. It has nothing to do with what I eat.
Well, and I think I'm just so frustrated with myself because I joined in April of 2018.
You
would think by now I would have finally freaking lost all the weight. And I know it takes what it takes.
I'm so glad you're self-loathing over it.
Thank you. I am very good at it.
I know. It's like, this is, I think I know the problem. You have got a mismanaged mind, like a big dog right now.
Oh, good. Do tell me how to manage it.
You need to, like, are you writing down the thoughts that you're having each day and calling bullshit and saying, like, no, here's how we think about our husband. We don't blame weight on Hashimoto's. I can be tired at the end of the night and not eat over it. During the day, what am I telling myself all day long? Make a list of those things. Decide how we're going to actively talk to ourselves. If you're going home emotionally tired all day, it's because you're wearing yourself out emotionally all day long by the way that you're thinking about your life and yourself in relation to others all day long.
Yeah, the only thing that I know that I am doing very correctly is, you know, I have kept moving. I have kept, you know, I exercise, I play pickleball, so I keep doing that because it's something that makes me feel good. And I know the days that I don't do it, you know, I can see, you know, depression starting to set in.
I just want you to know, those are the things you do to get like a physical bounce on feeling good. I want to know what are the things that you're doing that give you an emotional bounce on feeling good. Everybody always wants to go to, let me do a lot of things to feel better about myself versus if what's broken is how you think about you, quit playing pickleball to feel better about yourself. Wait, sit around and do work on like, here's why I'm worthy. This is the shit I tell myself that's a dead no when I hear it from now on. I don't indulge in talking to myself like this anymore. If I wouldn't, like, do you have kids?
Yeah, I have two grown sons.
Okay.
And I remarried two and a half years ago. So. Well,
if you sat around, if they came in and said, let me tell you what I thought about myself today. It's really hard for me to get ahead in life. You know, I had a thin dad. You know, I got a mom with Hashimoto's. It works how I get through my day. Like, if they were sitting around and doing that, would you be like, I get it. Let's eat. Or would you say, like, what are you talking about? You're great. You're this. You've got to be that version of you for you.
My own cheerleader.
Yeah, like, there's worse things that could happen.
Yeah.
Like how we always say it like, great, now I got to be my own cheerleader. It's like, yeah, you do. Nobody else is going to do it for you.
I will have to say my husband is very good at doing it, and he didn't, or my kids saying, why do you think you need to lose weight? And I'm like,
this is the thing that happens. Unless you're your own cheerleader, nobody else's cheers matter. It's easy to dismiss them. It's easy to not let them land. It's easy to just be like, yeah, I'm glad I have it, but here I am. Like, we have to, like, I want you to think about all that self-loathing that's going on in your head. All of that, like, poor pitiful me, here's my big stack of reasons why, like, I've not lost weight, blah, 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 whatever that is. That's just the child version of you. That's just the version of you that doesn't know how to
do it. Is, and I have a lot.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that is a real issue with me, because just a couple of years ago I found out some stuff about my adoption which I did not know, you know, some cans of worms were opened, and I think the thing is that I now look at it somewhat of, well, if she left and abandoned me, you know, why, I don't know, you know, am I lovable, is it, in that kind of sense too.
Yeah, like, you are, you real, are you answering the question, or are you just letting it hang around for your brain to give you all the reasons why you're not? Like, that's what kills me about you guys. You'll be like, you know, my mom, you know, left me when I was a child. My mom gave, I don't care what everybody's story, we all got like our thorn to bear about our childhood, right? And it's like, so your brain goes to, well, because of all of that, does that mean that I'm lovable? Does it mean I'm not? It's like, don't let your brain, like, if it asks that question, you better damn well come back with an answer. Like, of course,
and I'm then on the flip side,
I got a husband who tells me all the time, that has nothing to do with my mom. Like, you have to answer those questions, or it will answer with your shitty voice.
Well, and that's why I don't like sitting in the feelings, because then I sit there and I'm like, I don't have the right to have this pity for myself, because there's so many other people with bigger problems out there than me.
No, that's not feeling your feelings. That's judging yourself. That's very different.
Yeah.
You are entitled to pity. You get to feel pity for yourself if you want. I just want you to be real clear that I'm feeling pity because I'm thinking these things.
Okay.
When you do it from that space, you're like, you know what? I just want to feel really bad right now. I'm really sad, like, that my mom abandoned me. I found all this information out. Like, I want you to feel it on purpose, understanding that it wasn't the abandonment. It's my thoughts about it.
Right.
That allows you, like, when you do that, you also feel something else. There's this soft landing place underneath all the shit of, like, understanding and compassion for you. It's like allowing yourself to feel your authentic feelings that you want to feel right now. When you understand your thinking, it's like being, think about, like, this is a terrible example to use with you, but I'm going to use it.
Wonderful.
I was like, the example that jumped in my head might sound like bullshit, but I just want you to think about it. Like, did you have somebody when you were growing up who loved you, that if you ever were upset, they would hug you?
Yes.
It's like doing that for you now. It's allowing yourself to feel your real, true, authentic feelings and stuff. And while that's happening, someone is also providing you some relief of, like, it's okay to feel this way.
Yeah, that would be much.
That's very different than, I shouldn't be feeling this way. I'm so weak for feeling like this. I, like, other people have it worse than me. That's bringing in judgment. That's bringing in shame around a feeling. That's bringing in other feelings that don't allow us to actually feel what we want to feel.
Yeah.
I want you guys getting better at knowing why you feel the way you do. Like, first and foremost, just whatever feeling comes on, really get to know it in your body, because once you do that, it's a lot easier to understand why you feel the way you do.
And yeah, so I really like that worksheet because it was so concise.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go feel my freaking feelings.
Be feel our feelings, but more than anything, identify the ones you really want to feel and separate out the ones that are the bullshit ones you're layering in right now.
Yeah. Okay.
It has blame and shouldn't be happening and all that stuff. That's the stuff that we need to correct in our head. When you're like, no. We think great things about ourselves if we want to. And sometimes we feel bad, and that's okay too.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm looking forward to this weekend. And thank you for calling on me.
You're welcome. All right.
All right. Have a good day. Thank you.
All right. All right, Tree, I'm going to try you one more time and see what happens. And then we're going to get off here. As I said, I'm going to try to call you. Say something. I still can't hear you. I'm sorry. Do this. Whatever you need coaching on, just take it to Ask Coaches and put it in there, and we'll get it answered over there because that's where the coaches will be able to come in and do it. So just whatever you want to talk to me about, just put it all in there, and that'll. I'm not sure what's going on. It must be a setting in your phone somewhere or your laptop. All right. And also, if you want, why don't you email support and just tell them like you were having a hard time. Actually, I want to email Zoom support just to make sure that it's not something on their side since we weren't having problems today with some of the others. If I didn't get to your question today, guys, will you just take them? At first, I always recommend taking them to Facebook first. A lot of times, the people in the Facebook group, these are, you know, people that have been with us for a long time. We, you know, our members, they average stay at least 2 years now, probably because we're so fabulous. And from what all you said about new, it's not that great. But take it over there. A lot of times there's a lot of wisdom in the community that can help you, and you'll find that you're not alone in this. There's nothing I ever coach on where there's not always the chat lights up of people saying, me too. Like this is helping me. I encourage all of you to always take notes. You can learn something from every single person's coaching, every single time. And if you had a question or if you have any other questions or anything and you don't feel comfortable putting it in a Facebook or you think only a coach could help you, you can always take it to Ask Coaches too. Okay. Guys, I will not see you until next week. I will be at camp. So there's 2,100 of you at this point coming. So I will see all of you all weekend long. I will be saving the voice from this point on because I will talk nonstop Friday through Sunday. For all of you who are not coming to camp, you are in good hands. We have a full staff. The Ask Coaches will still get done every day. The community team, we have people from the community team who did not come to camp who are staying behind to make sure that all your questions get answered and that you're well taken care of. Plus, we have mentors. We have all kinds of people in there. So we're going to make sure you're taken care of. And I just look forward to learning a lot from all you girls this weekend because I always feel like my coaching grows on a camp weekend. And then it's stuff that I just end up being able to teach better inside our membership. So y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.